Father God, I thank you for your word which speaks into our lives and tells us things that we need to know, that you want us to know about you and your plans at work in the world. And so I thank you that at Christmas we have these marvelous truths that we see Simeon and Anna waiting expectantly for. And my prayer this morning is that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and to have a perception that comes truly from you and your spirit at work in our lives. Help us this Christmas to see Jesus for who he is, and to marvel and to give thanks for who he is. And I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, I want to put up on the screen some things. Let me just get there in a second. All right. Is that coming up? All right. Is the floor curved or is it straight? You think it's your eyes? It's an OPSM test. I love it. Good on you, Mary. That's probably the best answer of all. So it's a straight floor. You can see the white edge there against the wall, which is the giveaway. But it looks so curved, it'll make you kind of seasick, won't it, looking at it? Here's another one I want you to look at. Which head belongs to which body? So the lady's kind of bent down to hug the man, but it just looks like it's the other way around with the heads. Our perception of what's going on in that picture is so weird, isn't it? There's some really funny things going on there. All right, check out this picture. Find the cat. Tell me if anyone sees the cat. It's a bit hard when it's further away. I so badly want to take a picture of your faces at the moment. What? So if you look at the middle pile and that second log down, that is not a log, that's a cat, and its head is over to the right, okay? Just in the middle, the second log from the top, if you like. So there. All right, so we're looking at things and thinking about what we're seeing and how we're understanding and how it relates. This is the theme I'm sort of trying to get through. All right. What colours do you see in the cabinet? It's one of these things. You know the dress that was on the internet? It's one of those. What's that?
White and pink.
White and pink. Okay. Acre and grey. Did I hear? Jake, yep. Okay, pink and white, acre and grey. There's a lot of differences going on here. So on the internet, it's kind of split. The main thoughts are blue and grey or pink and white. And it's actually blue and grey, which is really weird, isn't it, to look at. But it's blue and grey. Our perception of it. I'm with you, Kate. I saw pink and white. So the middle drawer is pink. To people, yeah. To some people, it looks pink. It's actually blue and grey. Wow, when sermon illustrations turn into... All right. Is the cat going up or down? I love it that I've heard up and down. So it's going down. You can see the edge of the step, which is the giveaway. But it looks like it's going up. My first impression on that is up. Our perceptions of things. We've got to look at things and then what is the reality of what it is that we're seeing? All right. Apparently, if you stare at that long enough, you see a cat or a mouse looking back at you. I see a cat, but I see a cat on a small phone screen. I'm not sure if I see it on the big screen. Anyone see a cat? Oh, okay, excellent. Gary, Jeff, Dean, all right. Anyone see a mouse? No, I didn't see a mouse. All right. Are the lines parallel? Oh, everyone knows that one. Doesn't look it though, does it? Your first thing is like, oh, that's like all over the joint. But they're actually parallel lines. They're parallel to each other. Are the dots different sizes, the orange dots? One's 1 pixel wider, says Michael. They're actually the same size, but our eyes do tricks to us, don't they? Our perceptions are really different. Okay, here's another one of these mixed up bodies. Look at the legs. How does that work? So our perceptions are really twisted by that picture. So if I tell you that you can't see the shorts of the person behind, then that'll help you. Basically, there's a two-tone pair of board shorts that the person closest to us is wearing. And so that's the way to see what's going on. But our perceptions of that really threw me for ages, that picture. Our perceptions of what's going on are really thrown. Okay, now, who does geography at school? There's no one from school. who loves geography? And maybe I should ask it that way. Jake does. All right. When you take a map and flatten it out, everything gets a little distorted. Look at the comparative distances there. It's very strange, isn't it? So there's some interesting things for you to take on board. All right. Let me just go back here and swap that over. Excellent. Well, that was a bit of fun, but the point was to get us thinking about the different perceptions that we have of things. I mean, we can, with our eyes, we can see things, and it just, what is going on with what we're seeing, and what is the reality of the things that we're seeing? And I thought that I'd do that because what our Bible passage is about this morning is perceptions. It's about perceptions of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And if you were just Joe Ordinary at the temple that day when Jesus came to the temple, what would you have seen? With your eyes, what would you see? You'd see Simeon. You'd see Joseph and Mary coming up. You'd see a baby being presented. Simeon takes the baby in his arms. There were some words. That's what you saw. That's it. And it seems so ordinary and pretty unassuming, doesn't it? What makes the difference is your perception of who Jesus is. If you see the baby and that's all you see, you have an ordinary set of circumstances, don't you? But what changes this is what Simeon says, and what Simeon says reveals what he sees about who Jesus is. And that's what this whole passage turns on. That's what the passage is about. Close up and we can go home now. So what does Simeon see in Jesus? And what should we see and understand? What should we see this Christmas? We're going through a series on the voices of different people at Christmas, and we're listening to Simeon to see what Simeon sees in Jesus at Christmas so that we could take that on board for ourselves. So here's what happens in the passage. Jesus' family is at the temple to perform certain purification rites that were required of Mary. You get that from verses 22 to 23. All firstborn males were to be consecrated to the Lord, but there were purification rites you can read about in Exodus and Leviticus for mothers as well. Simeon is there because of a promise and because of the Spirit's leading. He's first of all described in verse 25 as a righteous and a devout man, but he's also someone who's been given a very specific focus by the Holy Spirit. He's been given a promise that he will see the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. And he'll see it in his lifetime. So Simeon has this vibrant hope that he lives for. And it guides him to the temple that day. The Spirit guides him. How did he know that the comfort of Israel was Jesus when he turned up? Doesn't really say, but he's guided by the Spirit. And we know that from verse 27. So I take it that the Spirit has enabled him to see that Jesus is the comfort of Israel. And so he says these words that he says. Now, the comfort of Israel, it's not an unfamiliar concept to Jews. If you know words of Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 49, you will have heard about the comfort of Israel. Maybe you know the words of Handel's Messiah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, Isaiah 40. So Jews have this concept of the comfort of Israel. They have this promise that is a hope that they own and know. And so here is Simeon waiting expectantly for that big promise of the comfort of Israel that he's told he'll see in his lifetime, and he's directed to the temple that day. And that makes this a really precious moment of fulfillment and promise. And so Simeon and Joseph and Mary and Jesus come together at the temple. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon sees Jesus, recognizes who he is, and here's what he does and says. Firstly, he took Jesus in his arms. Something about that blows my mind. Simeon is holding, to ordinary people seeing what he's doing, he's holding a baby. But Simeon is holding the comfort of Israel. He's holding God's Messiah King in his arms. And he knows who this baby is. Something about that sends shivers down my spine. It is a huge moment for him to hold the comfort of Israel. His arms hold a lightweight infant, but his mind was connected with this massive truth about who Jesus is. And he says, verses 29 to 32, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I love the way this prayer starts. I love it. You can take my life now. It's complete. What you've promised has now happened. And it's this treasured moment that he's been longing for all his life. Do you ever watch those shows on TV where people look for barn finds or for treasure and they uncover these great things, you know, really old cars that are worth a gazillion dollars or something if they're fixed up? I love watching those YouTube guys that go diving with metal detectors and find things. And you hear when they find something underwater, they, you know, through the regulator. But there's this great moment where they found treasure. Well, that's just treasure that perishes. Simeon's found the comfort of Israel. The eternal king. He has held the eternal king in his arms. I can't imagine what was going through his mind at that moment. Simeon unpacks the treasure that he's found. He says in verse 30, "My eyes have seen your salvation." When Simeon looks at Jesus, he sees God's salvation. He knows, he calls him the comfort of Israel, which is coming out of messianic promises in Isaiah, and he's recognized him as God's salvation, the answer to his people's great need. How does he see this? There's no gospel account. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't had his earthly ministry. He's got the Old Testament promises, and he's got the leading of the Spirit, and he's come to this conclusion, and he's grabbed hold of it for all it's worth, and he sees and knows, and he takes Jesus in his arms and in his heart. Take a moment to take this in, because Luke wants us to take this on board. This is recorded for us in God's Word so that we would know who Jesus is, how he has been revealed to Simeon, and what Simeon's seen. God's given Simeon this insight, and we're meant to take this insight on board ourselves. God's salvation on earth, set in place, awaiting his time. And God's ways are so understated, so humble. If it was an earthly government that was about to embark on a great military victory, if there was something massive in the wings in human military government terms, you would see great armies or governments gathering, cabinets meeting. You'd see a feverishness of things happening. But with God, his great plans involve an infant born so humbly, and yet Simeon sees something massive, God's plans to change the world. There's something that's beyond the eyes of ordinary humans, and with greater and longer lasting significance than any human treasure could ever deliver. And Simeon sees it. It's God's salvation. And Simeon draws us then to the extent of that salvation. He mentions the nations. Bible scholars here think he's referring to Isaiah 60, which speaks about a great darkness over the earth and a great light coming. The glory of the Lord rising and the nations being drawn to that light. Again, if you know Handel's Messiah, you know this. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Well, Jesus is the great light that has dawned and that brings the knowledge of God to the nations. It's a great salvation, and it goes far. Verse 32 says, he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, so that the Gentiles would know. This is a great promise. Simeon is declaring the comfort of Israel, God's salvation, whose purposes go through to the nations. That's what's being uncovered so far by what he says. And Luke says what Joseph and Mary's response to those statements is. In verse 33, they marvel. What else would you do when you hear those words said? They marvel at what was said about him. Luke wants us to see that too. We should marvel as well. This is God's word. He wants us to know who Jesus is beyond what our ordinary human eyes see. He wants us to know who Jesus is. We're meant to be amazed at the way that God achieves salvation in humble ways that go so far. That's who God is. He works through humble means. But along with this message of who he is comes a further announcement about the difficulties ahead in coming to terms with who Jesus is. It's a bit of a sober part to this passage, and it struck me as pretty significant because it serves to bring to light the cost that Jesus' coming will have and what knowing Jesus means. He is God's salvation that has come into a broken world, but not everyone welcomes this salvation. Simeon says to Mary, verse 34, that Jesus will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. His presence will split people according to how they perceive him. This is all about your perception of Jesus and how you land on this affects your falling or rising. His presence will split people according to how they perceive him. Either he will be their undoing because they will not bow the knee to him and they don't want to see him as Savior and the rightful ruler of their lives, or they turn from their own ways, their own perceptions about who he is, and acknowledge him as God's salvation and the comfort of Israel, the rightful ruler, the Messiah King. You know, so many people go for years and years and years to churches without perceiving who Jesus really is. This is really important, this message. When we hear Simeon's understanding of who Jesus is, it invites you in to formulate your own response. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking in your head as you see Jesus at Christmas? Simeon says that it can go two ways, as we've heard. He says in verse 35 that Jesus will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This is sober, this stuff. This is getting to the center of it all right here. How are you responding to who Jesus is? Do you see him as he is revealed to us by the words of Simeon? Simeon says that this will also have an effect on Mary. She'll know her soul pierced by a sword, verse 35. I think it means that Mary will know such a great deal of pain as a mother because of what's coming. Her journey won't be all sunshine and roses, but will have heartache and pain as Jesus takes on ministry priorities and as he faces rejection and as he goes to the cross. Simeon gives us a glimpse of what's ahead. So what are we meant to take away from the passage? Well, I've told you already. We're meant to formulate our own understanding and response to who Jesus is. Ordinary eyes see the infant. You get the postcards, you see the baby, that's what you see. And there's nothing asked of you, and there's no cost in just seeing the baby at Christmas. But Simeon says Jesus is God's salvation, the comfort of Israel, the hope of the nations. Big things are on the table. And if you see that Jesus is God's salvation, then what that says is that people need salvation. It says that the world is broken. It says that I am broken. And sometimes people don't want to recognize that in their lives. So to recognize Jesus as God's salvation is to say, I am broken and I need Jesus, God's salvation. Ordinary eyes see Jesus as an infant without understanding that Jesus is the comfort of Israel, God's Messiah King. And if you see Jesus as God's Messiah King, then you recognize that you owe him allegiance. You bow the knee, and he is the King. And our perceptions of Jesus will be laid bare, and they will be revealed. Many will rise, and many will fall because of him. So make sure this Christmas, as you look Christmas cards, as you see the baby in the manger on those Christmas cards, recognize the King. See the comfort of Israel, God's salvation at work in big ways, humble, but that go to the world. They say that 90% of an iceberg lies below the waterline, and that what you perceive is just a little thing and you don't realize how much is there. Don't make that mistake with Jesus. Recognize who Jesus is for all he's worth this Christmas. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful, amazing, big picture of who Jesus is. He is the long-awaited comfort of Israel, the hope of his people, of your people. And that hope goes out to the nations. We thank you that you are a God of grace who sees fit to bring that revelation to all peoples. I pray this Christmas as your people who have gathered here this faithfully this morning, as they receive their postcards, as they contemplate Christmas, as they enjoy all of the fun and good times and food, and that's a wonderful thing to celebrate at Christmas, I pray that along with all of that, they would appreciate the magnificence of the Savior, of the King, and contemplate Simeon holding in his arms, not just an infant, God's salvation, the comfort of Israel, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. I pray that we'd celebrate that this Christmas. I pray it in your name. Amen.